Welcome to the third episode of Figuring Out Fanfiction. I'm your host, Leon Zareas, and it is exciting to be back. Last week's episode featured PhD student James Warwood, and we talked about fanfiction as a means to increase representation for the LGBTQ community. This week's episode, however, is slightly different in tune. So, let's backtrack a bit. When I was about 13 years old, I was introduced to Wicked the Musical. It had been the first time that I had actually seen a book-to-stage adaptation of a fictional work. Wicked fascinated me when I realized that it was essentially fanfiction of The Wizard of Oz. And as time passed, I realized that fanfiction often transitioned into new original works. There's the music Hamilton, there are also works like The Song of Achilles, which I highly recommend reading, as well as Paradise Lost, for example. The most compelling thing that I found when I was researching was that Shakespeare himself was technically a fanfic writer. Yes, the famed playwright was known for retelling certain folk tales. So, looking at all of these facts, what does it mean then for consumers of fiction? Does writing fanfiction mean that there's something underlying it in terms of creativity? What's its role in history? And that leads me to introduce today's guest. Right now, we have Associate Professor Gareth Fisher on the line. He is currently teaching at Syracuse University. And he'll be giving us insight on the possible timeline behind fan fiction, along with what happened and how it crossed the digital sphere and its current place in human creativity. Professor Fisher, thank you for joining us.
Thanks very much. It's great to be here.
So it's my understanding that you are primarily a religion scholar. What led you to teach fan fiction to college students?
Well, it's a long story, and it starts from when I was doing my research for my main academic research on Buddhist groups in China. So I am a cultural anthropologist. I do research on people, on living groups. And I was writing my dissertation on the revival of Buddhism in China and living in Beijing in the early 2000s. And at that time, you know, doing field work is a very intense experience. And if you're really doing it well, you're really trying to get to know people who live in a very different world and think very differently than you do. So obviously for me, as a European American, being in China is different in many respects, even though I spent a lot of time there. But also the community of Buddhists was different because I'm not a Buddhist. I don't practice. I don't believe in the same way that they do. So there was a lot of pressure and intensity trying to get into their world every day and then sort of get back out of it and unwind at the end of the day. And so one of the things that I did to unwind was that I started to write Harry Potter fan fiction. And first of all, I started off as a reader of the fiction, because at that time there was a long 3-year period between the publication of the fourth and fifth books. So, you know, we wanted more material to read. So there was a very, very lively online fandom community, and fan fiction writing community. So I'm naturally a writer. So I thought, well, I could write this fan fiction instead of just reading it. And I wrote one evening, I wrote a chapter of a fanfic novel idea that I had. And then I went to bed and woke up the next morning. And in the meantime, it had been the daytime in the United States and most of Europe and the Western world. And in that time, I had received 3 reviews for my story already. And I was really excited about it. And it really inspired me to keep writing. And then eventually I wrote 2 very long fanfic novels and some short stories that really totaled to kind of the thousands of pages if you put them in a book form. I got lots of reviews. I met a lot of people through doing this. And I became part of this fandom community. And then as I did so, it really struck me that this was very much like the Buddhist community that I was studying. That in some ways fandom is like a religion. It is a community that is centered around the understanding of a sacred text, a text that becomes sacred to that community. It involves social interactions. it is to some extent a kind of counterculture or subculture from the main society, which is also very much what the Buddhists I was studying were like. Buddhism is a minority religion in a country like China, which is a highly secular country. And especially being a committed part of Buddhism in the way that the people I studied were. So there was a lot of parallels there. And when I got back to the United States, I wrote a few essays for different classes that I was teaching, one on virtual communities, so like digital communities, and another course called Morality in Community, which looks at the way that the relationship between moral values and community building throughout the world. And I use the kind of Harry Potter fandom community as one example in this, which was heavily based around the writing of fan fiction. And then I decided to, well, why not teach a whole class on this? So then I came up with a class called Fantasy and Social Values, which is about how mainstream science fiction and fantasy franchises sort of create these experimental spaces for idealized versions of social values. And fan fiction is a part of that, right? And other kinds of artistic fandom expressions are a part of that.
Okay, so I never thought I could hear a connection between Buddhism and fan fiction. So, Professor, it's been many years down the road. The HP books are done, the movies are done. It's been a while since you last wrote fan fiction, based on what I'm hearing. Do you still think fan fiction has an influence on your life in any way?
Right now or in the future?
Right now, I would ask.
I think it's less of an influence because I've stopped writing it. I haven't written it for some while. But a lot of that has to do with time and having certain creative ideas, right? Or lacking those ideas. Writing is very much you have to have an idea, an inspiration. And then if you don't have one, you can't like force yourself to keep writing stuff. But I still continue to be part of this community, and it's still very important to me. And I also follow other kinds of fantasy franchises, and potentially I could write fan fiction for that, although an idea has not occurred to me. I'd also like to transition more to writing original fiction. I started with some ideas, but it's fallen a
Oh,
little
okay.
bit flat. So, and in general, a lot of fan fiction writers are trying to transition to that original fic.
So we'll transition to what we're going to talk about outside your interests, like what we mentioned at the beginning of the episode. We wanted to talk about how fan fiction originated in history. I wanted to ask your opinion first. Why do you think people write fan fiction in the first place? Is there a driven need behind it?
Well, the idea of fan fiction as opposed to fiction is very much a modern kind of idea, right? Which you mentioned in the opening that Shakespeare, in some ways, was a fanfic writer. I think we could go back and look at other works like the Iliad and the Odyssey. Those are, in some ways, fanfics. They're adaptations of folk tales that are circulating orally at the time. So how do we come up with the idea of fanfic? A lot of this has to do with copywriting, is the idea that, well, if someone creates certain characters in a certain plot line, then they have the copyright over those characters. And so I can't just go and publish my own original Harry Potter fiction book and sell it in the stores and try to make money off of that because it's fan fiction, right? But again, this is about copyrights, is about legality. Traditionally, people write not in a vacuum, they write inspired by others, and inspired in part by the characters and the plot lines that they create. So really, in a sense, almost all fiction is fan fiction, right? And the question is how close you're getting to the original source material. And of course, it's something that I discovered when I was writing. And the reason I kept writing and I wrote so prolifically is because I had an audience. And the reason you get an audience is because everyone is familiar with that original fiction and the original characters in that fiction. And so, therefore, they're going to be much more interested in a fan fiction story about those characters than a completely original story that you've created with characters you have to build from scratch. And that, again, is true all throughout history, right? So, Shakespeare appeals because he's writing based on basic kind of plot lines and characters and situations and problems that people are broadly familiar with at the time. And that creates a base of audience in a way that would not have occurred if he had written something more, quote unquote, original.
So fan fiction has been around for a while at this point. Do you think it's possible that there's a relation between fan fiction and certain aspects to human nature, like values or morals? Does that exist?
Well, yes, I mean, and again, it's not just fan fiction, it's fiction, right? But what we want to ask is, why is certain forms of fiction more popular than other forms? And I would argue that a lot of that is because it reflects certain values that people aspire to. And in some cases, our society changes. And the changes in those in society is not always reflected in our art and in our literature, which is still kind of reflecting an earlier generation of values. And then along comes a writer that's able to kind of encapsulate those changing values and the ways in which people are starting to think of themselves differently. And then that, if it's told in a compelling enough way, that hits a nerve and becomes tremendously popular. And then people want to write fan fiction based off of that, which can also lead them into directions of original fiction later on.
Speaking to what you mentioned about how fan fiction is closely related to the general existence of fiction, do you think people who write fan fiction should shift to original content? Do you think that's something people should strive for, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. It depends what you want to do. I've attended a number of panels that of in, especially in recent years of people that started to write Harry Potter fan fiction and then transitioned into original fic. And of course, now the books have been around for a generation, really. You do have these people that started off, in some cases, as very young, 12 or 13, writing fan fiction, and now they're in their early 30s and they're writing and publishing original fic that people are buying. It's not as popular as Harry Potter, but it is published and it has its own fandom and generates its own fanfic. And for those people, though, but they were able to take something that they really loved. Build their own fan base because a lot of fan fiction writers have their own fandom base and use that then to create an audience to translate into original fic and then ended up being able to make somewhat of a living based on what they love to do. And some of them also went into other jobs within the literary industry, like got into publishing and became publishers or supporters of young adult science fiction or fantasy. So they got into the industry in other ways. And so if that's your goal, then yes, you want to transition from fan fiction to original fiction, and it's a good way of doing so. But I think for other people like me, even though, as I've said, I've started to transition. I mean, I have another job, I have another career, and so for me, this was always something on the side. So I would be happy to write fan fiction again if I had an idea, and that would allow me to have an audience and be part of a community much more quickly than if I was writing my own original fic, which people, which people might not be as interested in.
Do you think the existence of fanfiction.net or archive on our own, does that change the nature of fanfiction overall? Do you think this is a positive change or a negative change, if any, if any even exists?
Sure, it's well, one thing that's important to remember is that the internet was not the beginning of fan fiction. And
Of
we've
course.
talked about this, of course, Shakespeare is writing fanfic, but even if we go to sort of more conventional ideas of fan fiction, right, such as popular franchises that people write their own stories from in the modern period, We still see a lot of energy and activity in fan fiction writing before the internet. So there were things called fanzines. So as growing up in the 1980s, I went to science fiction conventions, and I was very interested in Doctor Who and Star Trek. And you could buy Star Trek and Doctor Who fanzines at these conventions, and you could get on a mailing list and have them mailed to your house. And of course, people weren't supposed to make money off these again, but they were allowed to kind of charge for printing costs, or if they did, like the franchises, the people who own the copyright would look the other way. So you could pay and arrange to have these sent to your house, and then you could go to these conventions and connect with other fans. However, of course, this still excludes a lot of people, right? Who people can't afford to go to the conventions, people who live in areas where the conventions aren't meeting, and there are many people that just don't know about this, right? On the internet, just like with everything else, it just makes it much, much more accessible. It makes someone like me who's living and working in China able to write something one night and communicate with an audience all over the world. And so it's just made it much more accessible to more people. And certainly, I really wish I had had the internet growing up, because I wrote a lot of fiction as a high school student, a lot of original fiction, and I had a very minor audience. It was like maybe I could get my mom to read it or my best friend to read it, and then I had to cajole them, and that was kind of it. And I sometimes think, like, later on in my life, writing all this fan fiction, like, what if I had an audience for this, a bigger audience over the internet at a younger age? Maybe my whole life and career would have evolved in a completely different way. So certainly the internet just make things so much easier, but it's not the only way fan fiction has been done.
Do you think the most predominant patterns in fan fiction might change down the road?
I don't see why it wouldn't continue. I mean, we have the software and networking capabilities of the internet. I don't think that's going to change. I mean, different kind of applications can come in and out, and things can become even more accessible. Right now, I can read things on my phone, but that doesn't change the nature of the ability to interact with people online. I suppose it's possible that franchises could become more concerned about copyright, but I don't really see that happening either. I mean, fan fiction is an incredibly effective tool in promoting your franchise, right? So there's really not a lot of incentive for franchises to crack down on fan fiction as some kind of copyright violation. In certain cases, things might come up, like adult fiction, or there are other things that franchises don't like. But overall, I think fan fiction is going to continue to be allowed, and then people are going to continue to be interested in it. And if one franchise kind of becomes less popular, there will be something else that picks up the thread, and people will want to write about that as well. So I guess I don't see any signs of any changes in this.
Okay, so fan fiction definitely won't be going anywhere. That's really good to hear, especially if you're still someone who reads or writes fan fiction or might even have some emotional attachment to it. I know I used to have one when I was younger. Professor Fisher, where can people find you if they want to continue this conversation?
I'd be happy to talk to anyone. My email is gfisher@syr.edu.
All right, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you enjoyed talking to me as much as I did talking to you.
Yes, I did. Thank you very much.
To the digital citizen, fan fiction might be an endeavor that mostly comes alive on websites, but to history at large, it's always been a part of who we are as creatives. Humanity thrives in stories. Stories are how we pass on life lessons and learn about ourselves. Now, fan fiction may not fit that traditional mold, but still has the same impact regardless. Questions, comments? Email me at figuringoutfanfiction@gmail.com. In our next episode, I'll be joined by Dan Greer, a friend of mine who studies entertainment and recording studies. They'll be talking about fan fiction beyond the fiction, which means stories written about real-life people. Stay tuned for our episode next week. Thanks for listening.